All right, our Challenge Ministries radio congregation, I want you to open your Bible, if you would please, to Leviticus chapter 17. In a moment, we will look at verse 11 because the message today is based on Leviticus 17:11. What does that verse say? It says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul." The blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You're thinking, wait a minute, Bob, are you fixed to get into one of those bloody messages? You ever thought about the cross? Have you ever considered just how bloody Christ was? Scourged, crown of thorns on his head, beaten, and then nailed to a cross? Have you ever considered the blood on the cross? Have you ever considered the blood that was on what clothing he had, if he had any on the cross? Where God says, once again, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. You may not like the topic of blood. You may not want to hear about blood. Blood may bother you. But friend, let me say this to you. It is the blood of Christ that cleanses from sin. All the religious activity in the world will not cleanse you from sin. Going to church, serving in the church, whatever capacity that may be, will not, if you will, save you and save your soul. No, you must be born again. The blood of Christ. You see, you have to understand that when Christ went to the cross, he took upon himself the sins of each and every individual that would truly believe in him, acknowledge themselves to be sinners, and in childlike faith, ask him to come into their heart, be their Lord, be their Savior, and commit their life to him. Reconciliation with God does not depend on one's relationship with some religious organization. No. Relationship with God is established when one is, quote, born again, unquote. Jesus said to Nicodemus, that religious ruler, that religious leader, you must be born again. You've got to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. If you hope with your last heartbeat to be received into heaven, to be received into the presence of God, you've got to be born again. You may have been baptized, you may have been christened, you may be involved in all kinds of religious activity, but unless you have been born again, you will die and go to hell. That's not being mean or ugly. That's just what the Word of God teaches. So I want you to understand today as we go into this, whoever you are, whatever you're facing, there's hope for you. You may be estranged from Christ. You may be backslidden. You may be sorrowful, grieving, disappointed, discouraged, and even disgusted. But there's hope. There's hope for you. In all the universe, there is a source of hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. In the midst of a sin-cursed, sin-darkened world, and we see it becoming more wicked day by day by day, I keep telling you, this is not the nation I grew up in. This nation really has very little in it to, in any way, look as the nation did when I grew up in it. This nation has changed for the worse and is changing. And I lay all the problems of the nation at the front door of the church. I lay the sodomite lifestyle that has been so widely accepted at the front door of the church. I lay the heterosexual activities that are contrary to the Word of God at the front door of the church. I lay transgenderism at the front door of the church. We, the people of God, we, the priesthood of today, we, the believer priesthood, we have failed in so many respects, and we are failing in so many respects. And you say, well, Bob, I didn't tune in to be put on a down trip. I expected to be uplifted. Well, if you'll stick with me throughout the entire message, you will be. But we have to face reality, folks. We have to face the reality that our nation is on a collision course with the judgment of God. God does not wink at what we have become. God does not ignore what we have become. You see, in a world that is constantly changing, and here's the bottom line of the message today, in a world that is constantly changing, there's hope. In the very midst of death and disease, which we find around us every day, there is hope. In the disintegration of long-held moral values, and they are disintegrating, we're seeing them in disintegration day after day after day. The moral fiber of this country has been infected with so much ungodliness, so much that is ungodly. We can hardly recognize it for the nation we grew up in. It is the disintegration of the moral values in this nation that has brought this nation to where it is. And yet, in the disintegration, in the midst of the disintegration of all those long-held moral values, there is hope. I remember when I was in grammar school, we started the day out with a psalm from the Word of God. Then one of the students would lead in prayer. And then we would pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. But that was a different nation. That was a different nation. That was a different educational system. There's been much deterioration since then. In the disintegration of long-held moral values, I still see hope. God has a remnant. God always has a remnant. Now, the remnant of today is, no doubt, very small. And yet, there is a remnant. As long as there is a remnant, there is hope. I say again, in the disintegration in this nation of long-held moral values, there is hope. And I have no doubt there are some listening today who you need a reason to hope. Hear me again now. Listen, my radio congregation, I love you. I appreciate you. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your support. I thank you for your involvement with us. And I know that many of you are facing situations and circumstances right now in your life that you never anticipated facing. Some of you are facing health problems. For some, the health is failing. Then we have those in the radio congregation. Some have a marriage that has failed or is failing. Folks, this is reality. This is reality. Sickness inside the body of Christ, outside the body of Christ, is a reality. Failure of marriage inside the body of Christ, outside the body of Christ, is a reality of life. Some are without employment, don't have a job. There are those, no doubt, listening today who need employment. You need employment to meet the demands of your creditors. The reality of life is that there's a lot of unpleasantness in life. There is. Whether we like to admit it or not, the reality is that there is a lot of unpleasantness in life. At times, our day begins with a song and ends with a sigh. The heroes of our faith all face their mountaintops and their valleys. Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, the prophets, the priests, the men of God, the women of God of years gone by, and yes, indeed, even including the heroes of our faith, they all faced their mountaintops and their valleys. Elijah, the prophet of God, in his disappointment, wished to die. He expressed that wish to God. He wished to die. Matter of fact, he prayed asking God to let him die. He didn't fear death. Elijah did not fear death. So, he prayed that he might die. Not all face death with that kind of calmness. I have no doubt that every day of the world when I'm on the radio, and you are my radio congregation, and I do a lot of messages just for the radio congregation, like this one. This is for the radio congregation. Whether or not our people here in our local assembly will ever hear this message or not depends to some degree on whether or not they're checking the radio broadcast. But I want you to understand this. Not all can face death with the assurance, the peace, even the desire that Elijah had. Elijah was discouraged. He was disappointed. He had poured out his life on behalf of God the Father and the kingdom of God. He had been up against Ahab and Jezebel. He had been up against the false prophets. He had been up against a false system of religion. He had done everything he knew to do. He had prayed and asked God to hold back the rain. God honored his prayer in punishment of the nation. When he came back to the land, there was that contest on Mount Carmel. And there was no doubt in anybody's mind that Jehovah God was on his throne, and he was well, and he was able, and he was willing to hear and answer prayer. Guess what? He is still on his throne. He is still able and willing to hear prayer. Elijah was so disappointed. After all that he had done, all that he had prayed, his fasting, everything, he was so disappointed. We're told in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, "And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, 'It's enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's.'" He really, truly wanted to die. He was tired of the struggle. He was tired of the conflict. He was tired of the battle. And I'm talking to some people today who are there. You're tired of the struggle. You're tired of the conflict. You're tired of the battle. Some of you are weary. And Satan has come to you and said, where is this God of yours? Where is this prayer-answering God of yours? Are you somewhat disappointed? Are you somewhat discouraged? You see, Satan will do everything he can to disappoint you, make you doubt the Word of God. He will do everything he can to discourage you. And then we have so many listening to the broadcast today and every day who are religious, but they're not born again. They are involved in religious activity. They're involved in religious projects, but they don't know Christ. God is not their Heavenly Father. Christ is not their Savior. They have never been born again. And I want you to understand today that all the religious activity in the world will not get you in right with God. You may be involved in religious activity 7 days a week, any number of hours per day, and you may be jumping through all the religious hoops in your expression of religion, trying to cross all the religious T's and dot all the religious I's, and yet you can still die without Christ and go to hell. That is not pleasant preaching. That is not pleasant to listen to, but it's reality. Once again, Leviticus 17:11. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Notice how he starts that verse. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Understand this, a blood disorder is a serious physical infirmity. And there are several different expressions of blood disorders. Healthy blood is essential to a healthy body. And I'm talking to some people today, no doubt, who have a blood condition. And you're dealing with a blood condition. And I want to say something. This is not just a positive confession. This is not name it and claim it. I'm not a name it and claim it type. I'm a one who says believe it and receive it. Receive and believe it. But there's been so much misinformation, so much false doctrine, so much feel-good preaching. We want to make you feel good so that when we pass the plate, you will bless the plate. Well, I'm not about that. What I am about is hear God, obey God, preach the Word of God, make disciples, hope to see lost souls saved, save souls discipled. That's what I'm all about. But I come back to this again, because it is only the blood of Christ that can cleanse you from your sin. You cannot belong to a religious organization that by virtue of belonging to that religious organization will make you right with God. That's not going to happen. No, you must be born again. You must be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Now, I said a moment ago, a blood disorder is serious. That's a serious physical infirmity. And there's different expressions. I'm talking to people today. No doubt some of you are suffering from a blood disorder. Healthy blood, once again, is essential to a healthy body. Man, with all his wisdom and all of his technology, cannot manufacture blood. Hear me? Man, with all of his wisdom and all the technology that has been developed, he still cannot manufacture blood. No, God created blood. Man will never create blood. Man will never come up with anything that's close to a substitute of blood. But you see, it is that reality which explains the blood banks and the blood drives. Man, in all his wisdom and technology, cannot manufacture blood. Once again, that explains the blood banks and the blood drives. A blood disorder affects the entire body. I'll say that again. A blood disorder affects the entire body. Healthy blood is essential to a healthy body. Unhealthy blood can manifest in any number of ways in the body. All this speaks to the blood sacrifices in the Old Testament, as well as the ultimate blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, without the shedding of blood. But it couldn't be just any blood, and it couldn't be anybody's blood. It had to be the blood of the sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God, that was slain before the foundation of the world, meaning that God put this plan into activity, if you will. He put it into motion before the foundation of the world. You must understand that the plan of redemption, the plan whereby sinful man can be reconciled to holy God, goes all the way back to eternity past, before there was man, before there was an earth, before there was a creation. And understand this. You need to slow down and listen. Trust me. You need to slow down and listen. God, in his omnipotence, God in his omniscience, God, being who he is, before anything was ever created that was created, before the creation of man, God knew from eternity past who would and who would not believe the gospel. He knew who would and who would not see themselves as sinners, believe the gospel, receive Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for their sins, receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and commit and submit themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. God knew that. God knew that. Those of us who have been born again, we did not catch God by surprise that day when we finally said, I am a sinner. I was born in sin. I was conceived in sin. I came out of the womb a sinner. And it didn't take me long to start revealing that I was a sinner by that which I said, that which I did, that which I thought. Didn't take long. Did not take long. So, we have to understand that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, in other words, God was putting his plan of redemption, his plan whereby sinful man could be reconciled to Holy God, that was on the drawing board of his mind before he ever created anything, before he ever created man. All of what I'm saying, all of this, speaks to the blood sacrifices in the Old Testament. And it speaks to the ultimate blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Jehovah God himself established the blood sacrifices in the Old Testament. They were sacrificing animal after animal after animal. The land was soaked, if you would, in the blood of innocent animals that were dying for sinful man. They were the sacrifices for sin. And every animal, every sacrificial animal dying for the sins of man, died, if you will, with his eyes fixed on a cross on Calvary, where Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, would be hanging. Once again, Leviticus 17:11, I'm trying to drive this in. I want you to get this down. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. The Old Testament is soaked with the blood of sacrificial animals. Primitive cultures sacrificed to their false gods in an attempt to appease their false gods. In the Old Testament, God designated specific animals to be used as sacrifices for sin. Animals cannot sin. Therefore, specific animals were designated as blood sacrifices. But here again, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. You see, in the Old Testament, the sinner brought his sacrificial animal to the priest. He come confessing his sins. He laid his hands on the head of the animal to be sacrificed. And he confessed his sin. And as he did that, God transferred the sins of the individual to the animal to be sacrificed. And, listen carefully, when that animal died, their sins were put to death in that animal's. When their sins, when that animal died, their sins were put to death in that animal. Those of us who've been to Christ, symbolically speaking, when we came to Christ, confessing that we were sinners and asking Jesus to come into our heart, be our Lord, be our Savior, be our Master. Symbolically speaking, we went to the cross. We laid our hands on Jesus. We confessed our sins. And we didn't just say, forgive me for my sins. We confessed our sins. We named our sins. We identified our sins. And we placed those sins on Jesus. And then the Word of God tells us that those sins were put to death in Christ Jesus. You see, when you're born again, really what happens is, symbolically speaking, you go to the cross. You believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. You believe that Jesus is the sacrifice of God for the sins of all who will believe and all who will receive him as Lord and Savior. So we, symbolically speaking, when we come to God saying, I'm a sinner, I'm confessing I'm a sinner, and I recognize that your Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, went to the cross, took the sins of all who would believe in him and all who would receive him. He pulled those sins to himself. He reached back into eternity past and pulled all those sins to himself that had been put to death in those sacrificial animals. He reached into the New Testament to our time and pulled the sins of all of those of us who are alive at this time and who confess our sins and who receive Christ as our Savior. He pulled those sins to himself. And then when he died, hanging on that cross and crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because of that awesome, awful moment when Christ hung on that cross, when Christ became sin, God the Father could not look on Christ the Son, because Christ the Son had taken upon himself my sins and your sins, the sins of all who would believe. And so we have to understand that even as the sinner brought his sacrificial animal to the priest, laid his hands on the head of that animal, and confessed his sin, that transferred his sins to the animal to be sacrificed. And then the one sacrificing the animal had to kill the animal. But when the animal died, his sins were put to death in the animal that was sacrificed. And all the sacrificial animals in the Old Testament died with a view towards Calvary. Every sacrificial animal in the Old Testament died with a view towards Calvary. Calvary, where Jesus, the Messiah, the sacrifice of God for sinful man, was accomplished. Do you understand the significance of sin? Please hear me today. I'm watching my nation continue a disintegration, a moral disintegration. And yes, there is still religious activity, but it's not religious activity that we're concerned about. It is spiritual activity. The Pharisees were involved heavily in religious activity, but they were the ones who had Christ crucified. The Sadducees were involved in religious activity. They accepted the first 5 books of the Bible, but that was all. But they were involved in ritualism, religious activity, and missing the mark. And so many today, hear my heart, so many today are involved in religious activity, and you are missing the mark. You have failed to comprehend. You have failed to understand what Jesus meant when he said to that religious leader, Nicodemus, "You must be born again, Nicodemus. You must be born again. You must become a new creation, Nicodemus. You have to become a new creation in Christ." It is, you see, if religious practices, hear me carefully, if religious practices could make sinful man accept the Holy God, the cross would not have been necessary. Please don't let what I'm saying to you escape your attention. Some of you listening to this are not born again. You are religious. You belong to some religious organization, some denomination, and you're trying to live up to the standards of that religious organization or that denomination. But are you living up to God's standards? "Be ye holy, for I the Lord thy God am holy." You must be born again. Word of God says you must be born again. You've got to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You've got to go before Jesus himself, not some priest, not some preacher necessarily, not the bishop, not the pope. No, you go to Jesus. None of us went to the cross for you. Christ went to the cross for you. Christ became sin for you. Christ took your sins upon himself. So we go directly to Jesus. We don't go through any man. We go directly to Jesus. And we say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. I'm confessing I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me, Jesus, and save my soul. Holy Spirit, enable me, empower me to believe. I want to believe. I'm willing to believe. I want to believe. Enable me, empower me. Once again, I say, if religious practices could make sinful man acceptable to God, the cross would have not been necessary. Please understand this about sin. Are you listening? Listen carefully. Sin has to die. Sin has to die. The Word of God tells us God puts sin to death. He puts that sin to death in Christ Jesus. I'm saying to you that every Sunday, every Sabbath day of the world, there are individuals serving in different levels of capacity, in different denominations, in different manifestations of churches who are unsaved. Not born again. Religious, yes. Religious. But they are not born again. They have not become a new creation. All the desires of the heart have not been changed. They have not become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Once again, the Old Testament. Those sins were put to death in the sacrificial animals. Then Christ came, and Jesus became the sacrifice for sin for all who would believe. There's not a man on the face of the earth that can forgive your sin. I don't care what title he wears. I don't care what title he wears. He cannot forgive you your sin. Who can forgive sin? But God only, the Word of God teaches us. Only God can forgive sin. Confessing your sin to another man, to another individual, may make you feel better, but it doesn't solve the sin problem. And the individual you are confessing the sin to cannot empower you and enable you with by the Holy Spirit of God to live a godly, holy, separated life. They can't do it. Only Christ can do that. Only when you come to Christ, confessing you're a sinner, and in simple childlike faith asking Christ Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and your Savior, and you're born again, then you receive the enablement, the empowerment of the Spirit of God. But understand this, you come into the kingdom of God, and I don't care what denomination you belong to. I don't care what denomination you belong to. When you were born again, you came into the family of God as a spiritual infant. As a spiritual infant. And there are stages of growth, and that's where the church is lacking so sadly. There are stages of growth that we must come through. We come through level after level. We start out as a spiritual infant. We come into spiritual teenage years, if you will. We come into early adulthood. We come into, hopefully, eventually, some will make it into maturity and to being an elder. When I say being an elder, I don't mean an elder in the church. I mean being older in the faith, walking in maturity in the faith of God. For those who receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, when you received Christ, your sins were transferred to Christ Jesus on the cross. If you have not yet received Christ, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sins are transferred to Jesus Christ. You see, God knew before the foundation of the world who would and who would not believe. And God knew before the foundation of the world how many religious practices would be raised up and how many people would be involved in those religious practices and how many people would die in those religious practices without receiving Christ as their Savior and as a result of dying in that religious practice, having never received Christ as their Savior, having never been born again, would die and go to hell. He knew that. He knew that. But you see, when you come to Jesus, receiving Christ, Understand this. When you come receiving Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the sins of yourself, your sinful life, your sins were transferred to Christ Jesus on the cross. When you come confessing your sin, your sins are transferred to Jesus. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin. Took your sins, my sins, upon himself. Took your sins, my sins, upon himself, and put those sins to death in himself. You say, wait a minute, Bob. That was a couple of thousand years ago. God's never learned anything new. Before the foundation of the world, God knew who would and God knew who would not believe the Word of God, receive the Word of God, be born again, and be adopted into his family. And for those whom he knew would be born again when Christ went to the cross, their sins were transferred to Christ Jesus on the cross. And understand this, their sins were put to death in Christ Jesus on the cross. When I say, Father, forgive me for my sins, and the Father says, which one? Exactly which sin are you talking about? Well, you know my sins. No, no. Which sin are you talking about, Bob? Which sin are you talking about? Which sin do you want forgiveness for? You see, my sins, every last one of them was put to death in Jesus Christ. It wasn't a lump sum thing. Every single sin I had ever sinned, and every single sin I would ever sin, and this is what I'm saying is true of me, is true of all who have been born again. When Christ went to the cross, he put every single sin you had ever sinned at the time you were born again, he put those sins to death in himself. And he puts every sin to death in himself that you sin after that time. You see, when you confess your sin, what you're really doing is transferring that sin to Jesus. And sin has to die in Jesus. It has to die in Jesus. That's why we make it our practice in our prayer retreats to have people list their sins. We did this for years. We had them list their individual, separate sins. When I first went through the prayer retreat with Bertha Smith, I had 4 pages of legal size notebook paper, which I had written sin. Every single sin I could think of, a thought, a deed, an action, whatever it may be. You've probably never done that. You've probably never taken the time to sit down before God and say, I'm going to make a list of every sin I have ever sinned and every sin that's in my life right now. And most of you think, okay, in the morning I get up and I say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I'm good to go get coffee and leave. You say to him, forgive me for my sins. He has the right to say to you, which sin do you have in mind? Which sin specifically do you have in mind? You have so many. Well, you know, Lord, forgive me for my sins. He took every single solitary sin one at a time. He took every single solitary singular sin in your life upon himself on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when Jesus said, it is finished, it was finished. You have to understand this. No system of organized religion can forgive sin. Let me say that slowly. No system of organized religion can forgive sin. No leadership in any organized system of religion can forgive sin. No. Only God can forgive sin. How, on what basis does God forgive sin? Sin has to die. It's that simple. Sin has to die. When a believer confesses their sin, that sin is put to death in Christ Jesus. And that's a continuum, folks, even after you're born again. When you realize you've sinned in that thought, that attitude, that reaction, that response, that desire, whatever it may be, run to the cross. Run to the cross. Confess that sin. Whatever it may be, confess it as sin. And when you do that, that sin is transferred from you to Jesus. And that sin has to die in Jesus. You say, Bob, I'm not real sure I'm following this. Let me explain it to you this way. God knew before the foundation of the world every human being who would ever be born. He knew who would believe and who would not believe. He knew who would receive Christ as Savior and who would not receive Christ as Savior. He knew who would put their faith, their confidence in a system of religion rather than in His Son, the Messiah, Jesus. He knew. But He made provision. Because, you see, sin has to die. Sin has to die. And there's only two places in all the universe for sin. One is on me, the other is on Jesus. The same is true of you. There's only two places in all the universe for your sin. One is on you, one is on Jesus. Until that sin is confessed, it's on you. When it's confessed, it's on Jesus. This is such a profound spiritual truth. And yet it's so simple in so many ways. When a believer confesses her sin, that sin is put to death in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's what I'm doing today. I'm sharing the word of reconciliation. And let me tell you why the church is so weak today. Let me tell you why we see our nation sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into depravity, ungodliness, unholiness, and sickening, sickening, sickening sin. Let me tell you why that is happening. Because the church has failed to be the holy, holy, holy entity for which God wants her to be. All the religious activity in the world will not gain access to heaven. Only those cleansed from their sin by the blood of Jesus Christ will gain access to heaven. When sin is confessed, it is forgiven and forgotten. And folks, I'm telling you, I'm watching my nation in a spiritual meltdown. I'm watching it in a spiritual moral meltdown. I am watching people brag about things that at one time would have caused people to weep, would have caused people to go into their prayer closet and close the door and say, "Oh, Father God in heaven, do you see what's going on in this nation? Oh, Father God, I see Satan gaining ground. Oh, Father God, I see Satan penetrating the church. Oh, Father God, Father God, Father God." We would have gone in, and some of us still are. I am. I'm going before the throne of God daily, and I'm asking for a move of the Holy Spirit of God in this nation and the nations of the world, burning out the dross. Burn out the dross in the religious organization. Burn out the dross of those who consider themselves to be Christians and who have never been born again. They've never been to the cross. They think a cross is something hanging around their neck as an ornament. They don't understand a bloody, bloody, bloody cross. They don't understand that Christ on that cross was reconciling sinful man to holy God, that on that cross, Jesus, who never sinned, took upon Himself the sins of each and every individual, every single sin they had ever sinned. He embraced that sin, took it to Himself, and He who knew no sin became sin, which is why He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Angels in heaven, I think if we could see what was going on in heaven that day, if we could put Jehovah God in a body, we would see Him walk in the streets of heaven, His big shoulders shaking in with the sobs, the grief, the pain, the crying, because He couldn't help His Son. He couldn't. This was God's plan. Christ had to go to the cross. Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, had to become the sacrifice for my sins and your sins. No other way. No other way. That sacrifice of sin had to be sinless, willing, blood sacrifice. Those animals were sinless, but they were not willing. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was both sinless and willing God. God, our Heavenly Father, and understand this, only those cleansed from their sins by the blood of Christ will gain access to heaven. The rest will go to hell. That's not pleasant preaching, I know that. Only those. You may be religious, you may be so religious you squeak religion when you walk. But if you have never been born again, And by being born again, I mean you went to Jesus. And you said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want to be born again. Holy Spirit, help me believe. Help me receive. Holy Spirit of God, anoint me, help me, empower me, enable me to believe, to receive. I want to believe. I want to receive. I want to be born again. I want to be a new creation. I want to be adopted into the family of God. And when I die, I want to go to glory. That's what it takes, friend. You see, when we're consent, once we're saved, when sin is confessed, when we go to God confessing sin, it is forgiven and it is forgotten. He forgets the sin that we confess. That's what the Word of God says. I can't forget it. I have past memories of things I wish I had never said, things I wish I had never done, places I wish I had never gone. And I dare say that many of you are the same boat. You're in the same boat. You would to God you had not gone where you went, did what you did, said what you said, but you did. But the blood of Christ, glory be to God, hallelujah, the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sins. Let me remind you of this. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgotten things we can't forget. I can still remember things. Oh, it grieves me that I went there. I said that. I did that. I'm being as transparent with you as I know how to be. That's the only way I know to approach this, is in transparency. And that is why I'm so thankful to God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit. You see, in Hebrews 9:22, the Word of God says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. There had to be a sinless, willing blood sacrifice for the sins of man. Jesus was that sinless, willing blood sacrifice. Before man was ever created, this plan was put in place. And before the first creation of Adam and Eve, before the first creation of anything, God knew down through the centuries who would and who would not believe and receive Christ, the sacrifice for sin on the cross. God knew who would and who would not receive. God knew who would be involved in religious activity and die and go to hell because that religious activity could not make them a new creation. That religious activity could not take away their sin. That religious activity could not reconcile them to Holy God. And unless you're reconciled to Holy God, when you die, you will go to hell. And the only way you'll be reconciled to Holy God is through receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Jesus was the sinless, willing blood sacrifice. And God promised to forget all the sins that were put to death in Christ on the cross. I'm so thankful. See, God has forgotten things I can't forget. God has forgotten things that many of you can't forget. But God promised to forget all sins that were put to death in Christ. In Hebrews 10:17, God said, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You see, he cannot remember what I cannot forget. God cannot remember what I cannot forget. Those sins that I've confessed, he's forgot them. He recepted. The blood of Christ cleansed me. The sin died in Christ. He can't remember that sin. I cannot forget that sin. Hebrews 10:18. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Jesus was the final, complete, total, thorough, ultimate offering for sin. Once again, Hebrews 10:18. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, are you listening? Are you listening? Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You see, those of us who've been born again have access to the throne of God. We have access. I have access. Daily, day after day after day, I go before the throne of God. I confess anything in my life that the Spirit of God has told me he's not happy with, whether it's an attitude, reaction, response, whatever it may be. And then in intercession, on behalf of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God in this nation, those of us who've been born again, we can go directly through prayer into the very presence of God himself. Trust me, those of us who've been born again, we can go into the very presence of God himself through intercessory prayer. We go into his presence as his children, greatly loved. Those of us who've been born again, we're received into his presence as his children, greatly loved. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. You see, at his death on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent, was torn from top to bottom, that which separated men from the presence of God, the Holy of Holies, indicating now that man's access into the very presence of God is available. When that veil was torn, that revealed to us that man now, born again, those right with God, the children of God, have access to the very presence of Jehovah God. Now the question is, are you utilizing that access? The word tells me in Psalms 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You see, my sins and the sins of everyone who will trust and believe Jesus were put to death in Christ on the cross to be remembered no more. Hearts don't live in the past. Live in the present. Live in the future. For those of you who have been born again, understand the love that God displayed for you when he sent his son Jesus Christ to the cross so that your sins could be put to death in Jesus Christ. You as a sinner could be forgiven. And you as a sinner could be made a new creation in Christ Jesus. You could be adopted into the family of God and thereby have access to the throne of God himself. Are you utilizing that access? Are you going before the throne of God day after day, confessing, I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm a new creation. I've been born again. My sins have been put to death in Christ Jesus. My past has been forgotten. And I come before your throne, Father God, as a believer priest. As a believer priest. Interceding. Yes, confessing any sin that I know of in my life. But interceding on behalf of this nation and the kingdom of God in this nation. Oh, children of the Most High God, understand who you are in Christ Jesus. If you've been born again, that means you've been adopted into the family of God. That means you're a new creation. That means he has forgotten your past, all your past. He has forgotten things that you can't forget. But they were put to death in Christ Jesus on the cross. And the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from that sin. So that every day of the world, get up, take your rightful place to death to self in Christ Jesus. Let me repeat that. Every day of the world, get up and take your rightful place to death in Christ Jesus and go out. Go out, advancing the kingdom of God, facing the enemy, dressed in the whole armor of God, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, knowing your weaponry warfare, knowing how to use the weapons of our warfare, because they're not carnal. They're mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds, and we've got strongholds in this nation that need to be torn down, as well as in the church. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit of God, I have delivered that to them which you gave to me to deliver to them. I'm asking you to take it. And Father God, I'm asking for a move of your Holy Spirit in this sin-soaked, sin-infected nation. and the nations of the world. I'm praying for a move of God to shake the foundations of every structure of Satan in the nations of the world. In the name of Jesus, I speak confusion, frustration, strife, division, and failure on all the ranks of all the enemies of the cross. I'm asking you to move in the nations of the world, stir the hearts of the believers, stir the hearts of the church, and Father, reap a harvest for those who are religious but not born again. Oh, Father God, penetrate the darkness and the deception of religious organizations and have deceived people into thinking they're right with you when they can only get right with you when they are born again. So, oh, Father God, we pray for a move of your Holy Spirit doing what only you can do in the nations of the world, in this nation, in the church, the bride of Christ, that group of people who are blood washed, blood bought, purchased again, born again. Father God, move in our nation, move in the nations of the world, and bring such a revival that the strongholds of Satan will be either destroyed or diminished. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, once again, thank you, radio congregation, for joining me again today. Until I get a chance to meet with you again next day or so, be blessed.